All right. Hello and welcome to episode number 123 of the Three Drinks In podcast. I am your host, Vince. Over there is your host, Phil. Say hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
There's Phil. In this episode, we are waiting for Mr. Riz Ahmed to arrive and talk about the movie Venom, which did pretty well at the box office last few weeks. So we're going to wait for him and then talk about the movie. Before that, though, I want to remind you that Three Drinks In is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just search for Three Drinks In Podcast. You'll easily find us. Click subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Three Drinks In Pod. That's at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. Like us on Facebook. Find us at www.threedrinksinpodcast.com. And you can email us also at 3drinksinpodcast@gmail.com. That's everything?
That's
yeah. Okay, great. Here we go.
We will eat both your arms and then both of your legs, and then we will eat your face right off your head. You will be this armless, legless, faceless thing, won't you? Rolling down the street like a turd in the wind.
What the hell are you?
We are Venom.
Did you figure out who he was in Rogue One?
No.
I think he's the guy at the end that blows something up on the ship. That's on like on that docked area.
He's not the main guy, is he?
No, the main guy dies, I think, in the somewhere inside like the control room, but he's like a guy on like that they hire for like that last mission. And I think he's on like trapped on the ship when the stormtroopers are trying to shoot them, and I think he blows up something and takes a bunch of them with him.
The only thing I remember from that movie is the Vader scene.
Yeah, the only worthwhile 8 seconds of film in that entire movie.
Yeah. And what stinks about Star Wars movies is that they all have such ridiculous names that when you look at them up on like IMDb, you have no idea what they're talking about.
What, like the name of the film, you mean?
No, the name of the character.
Oh, the character names. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, and they're all spelled funny. You know, Jyn is what, like G-Y-N or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Or J-Y-N. It's difficult.
Yeah, so like when you look up his name, you're like, oh, that doesn't tell me anything about who he really is. So,
Guy at the end who blew up the thing. That would have been actually better.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah. So Venom. He was in Venom.
Yes, he's the villain in the movie Venom with Tom Hardy.
My notes on this film are extensive.
Well,
kind of looking over them right now. Like I could just read these, but speaking of Riz Ahmed and the bad guy in Venom, here's something I thought of later on and actually wrote like a side note. So do you recall his name in the movie?
Whose name?
Riz Ahmed's character's name?
Yes.
Yes, Carlton Drake?
Right. Yep.
Okay. So I just wanted to point out that they did an interesting thing in casting a person of color to play the villain, because they, you know, like the whole thing is that he's like a clone of like Elon Musk and Steve Jobs and, you know, name your other Silicon Valley billionaire mogul person. And a lot of those guys are, you know, Southeast Asian or, you know, from the subcontinent, the guy that runs Google. So he looks the part. And then they gave him the whitest name in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the name of two hotels.
I think he's a comic book character.
That's fine. It just sort of stands out to me. Like, if we're going to start fiddling with everything, but no, we'll keep the names the same. Like, it just, like, that was so silly looking. Like, this guy is, there's no way his name is Carlton Drake. There's just not. You know, his name should be something like Riz Ahmed. Anyway. So, and yeah.
So what did you think of Venom?
This was terrible, right? Like, this was a really, really bad movie.
It was a bad movie, but it was not the worst movie I've ever seen. It was.
Yes.
It was odd because I was looking at all the reviews, and the reviews are shitting on it quite rightly. And then you look at the viewer and the user reviews on all the websites, and they're like, "I liked this for some reason that I can't explain. I enjoyed watching this movie."
Yeah, people really did, and I can't explain it for them either because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me why they would like it. I mean, I guess no, I'm not even gonna try. I can't.
It felt like a good bad movie. And that like I walked out of Suicide Squad and I wanted to end the world. I was like, just end it now because this is the worst we were ever going to do. And there's just rock bottom, everybody. Here it is. And objectively, you know, this is not much better than that. But at the same time, it's like, well, you know, I sat through worse. I don't know, whatever. Like, I didn't hate the universe afterwards. I walked out of there like, yeah, it sort of hit all the notes that you usually expect to see in a superhero movie.
It made a lot of money.
Yeah, and I can't tell if that's because there's nothing else to go see or people were genuinely like, this is a really weird movie with Tom Hardy. You should go watch it.
I'm pretty sure it's because there's nothing else worth going. So last night or the night before, I went to go see First Man. And I went, so it was Tuesday. And Tuesday nights at my local theater, which is like a little rinky-dink theater, is like $5 movie night. And people where I live apparently love a bargain. Because if you get there on a Wednesday, you know, even a Thursday, there's plenty of parking. And it's in like a big shopping mall, like or shopping center. There's a big grocery store, a pizzeria, drugstore, and this theater. And like you'll find parking right out in front, right next to the Mexican restaurant. You walk in there, no problem. I had to park like 200 yards away down by the ShopRite because it was that crowded. And I'm thinking, shit, I'm late. I'm going to have to sit way up closer. This is going to be really terrible. I walk into First Man. There's nobody in the place. Now, First Man has its problems in terms of PR and things like that. But everyone went to go see Venom and Smallfoot and there's something else playing right now that people were going to see, but like nobody was in where I was, which was fine because I didn't need to sit around 8,000 people. But like there's not a whole lot going on. Like First Man's kind of like the first big Oscar contender movie to come out, and it hit a wall of controversy from both sides of the political spectrum. And I think it paralyzed everyone from going to see it. So they're left taking their kid to go see Smallfoot or Venom. And everyone went to Venom, and it made, you know, $200 million already. Scratching my head. I mean, according to Box Office Mojo, its opening weekend was $169. The weekend after that was $128. It was only a 25% drop. That's impressive that it managed to maintain, but there's just I think it's just because there's not a lot going on at present.
Could be.
So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but let's take a look. We got and like I think A Star Is Born is the other one. So,
well, you're not going to go see that twice.
All right. So I was reading the information wrong. So it was tops at the box office last weekend with 35. Total gross of 142 with a drop of 56, which is actually, that's still better than I thought. I thought they were going to hit like 60%.
No, it still did better than people thought it was going to do.
Yeah, it really did. And Star Is Born actually, I think, did worse the second weekend than I expected it to do.
Yeah.
You know, it fell by 33%, which I kind of figured, you know, it wouldn't do because it's like kind of one of those. It's for an older crowd, and you know, people get to hear how good it is, and it kind of creeps around, and it's a musical, like, what's that one with Hugh Jackman? Well, Barnum. The Greatest Showman, you know, where that, like, just never died in theaters and made a gajillion dollars, and, you know, no one knew why, kind of thing. And then there's First Man up there with, you know, $16 million. Yeah. So, anyway.
No, this is not a great movie by any stretch. Here's why I think it did okay and why I didn't want to just chuck my soda at my own head. For all of the problems that it has, which are myriad, which means many for those of you who don't know.
And varied.
Yes. The people that you're watching, all of the characters, you know, Tom Hardy's character and Ahmed's character, I can totally understand and identify with them. And even though their motivations and their everything is a little murky, I can totally sympathize with what's going on. And so that's what's keeping me engaged just enough not to want to leave the movie theater. You know, all the stuff about where the aliens come from and what they're doing there and how they're supposed to be bonding with people. I, you know, that's all nonsense. And it's half of it doesn't make sense with the other half of the film. But when you watch this guy spew bullshit like Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg, people who are not well liked by most people. And then you have Tom Hardy's down on his luck reporter because he carries a notebook character, you know, and he gets powers that he doesn't understand, and it brings out his confident but also somewhat evil side. That someone's like, yeah, if I had that, I'd totally be a badass. You know, I'd have to kind of tamper it down a little bit, but I can see that. And so they put them in a room and they fight together and the good guy wins, and that's the end of the movie. So you're like, yeah, all right, I get it. That makes sense. Versus like when I went to go see Suicide Squad and everybody made no sense and their motivations were completely random. And you were like, why am I watching these people do ridiculously stupid things? Like there's nothing to connect to. They spend so much more time on all the bullshit plot stuff that you sort of zone out. But this didn't have that problem. It's nonsense. Just go with it.
Yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense. Because, like, if you don't think about it at all, you're right. Like, the characters and the, you know, the tropes, they're very recognizable. And, I mean, maybe this is a sign of the times that, you know, these people are, you know, stolen essentially from what you see in the news about how people in Hollywood react, that in real life, people behave this bizarrely and think and say these dumb, weird things. And so when you see it in a movie, it doesn't seem like that crazy an idea that somebody would do this kind of thing. Like, yeah, sure, you know. Because, I mean, his complaint about humanity was the same as Thanos's. You know, it's this weird Paul Ehrlich 1970s overpopulation fear that people had. And it's kind of creeping back up into the conversation, you know, with global warming and the whole thing. And so you get a lot of guys in Silicon Valley who are like, yeah, we totally need to, you know, try to find a way to make ketchup run our cars. And, you know, and it's not so much of a stretch. I mean, Elon Musk is flying, you know, rockets into outer space, wants to take people to Mars kind of thing. It's not even... slightly inconceivable that there'd be a guy go, yeah, we're going to take these things off of asteroid we found, and it's going to, you know, bond with humanity and we're going to save the planet this way. I totally can see someone saying something as insane as that. So, sure. Yeah, I guess that part was, you know, clear enough, and Tom Hardy's character was clear enough, and everyone just cleared a fairly low bar to establish basic character design and motivation that I wasn't wondering why they were doing most of the things they did. And I guess if you're really not that discerning, you can sit through this and tell your friends, yeah, I was pretty good. And then they'll go see it. And then it'll yeah. make, you know, $170 million.
And I think it's more like it's not as bad as you think it is. Like,
oh, I don't know about that.
But I mean, we sat through Green Lantern, and that movie was hard to sit through. And I was like, wow, this is not good. Like, I'm not having a good time watching this, but I could sit through this fine. I didn't check my watch. I was just like,
oh no, okay,
now it's the scene where they fight him, and now it's the scene at the end where they fight. And like no, there's like a checklist in your head.
This I had a very different experience. I definitely was looking at my watch. It got to the point, like, I actually took a phone call in the middle of the movie. It was a pretty important one, and so I got up and I left the theater, but like, I wasn't like, well, I'm gonna miss, no, never mind. And I just walked out, and I was gone for 10 minutes, and I came back, and I didn't feel like I had missed anything.
And no, I think your brain fills in a lot of the gaps.
Yeah, but like, I walked back in the theater and sat, there was like maybe 10 people in there with me. It was a pretty big theater. And I walked to the other side and sat in the corner, because I was like, I don't need a vantage point now, this is stupid. And so I sat there and I just took notes on my phone the entire time. So, of what didn't work, what do you think was the most frustrating to you?
God, the most frustrating, like story-wise?
Because well, I mean, there's story and then there's sort of the internal logic of the movie, which was not fleshed out at all, which was really what I think, you know, is what makes it terrible. What makes it, you know, barely watchable is the fact, like we just said, like recognizable character stereotypes that we can, you know, follow along with and not need much to, you know, help with. And that's what makes it just passable. What makes it terrible is all the different things that don't work or connect or just are devoid of any kind of depth or care. Like, they didn't seem to care why anything functioned the way it did. And I'm wondering if, of those things that kind of made your brain go, huh? Which of them was the most annoying to you?
Probably the bad alien,
right?
That eventually bonds with Carlton Drake, because, and they asked the director about the huge plot hole in the beginning of the film, and he kind of shrugged, like, "Yeah, we realized we did that, but we kind of hope no one would notice."
Which huge plot hole?
So,
because when you say the huge plot hole, I have to go, well.
So the big one is that when the aliens crash to the planet and one of them gets away in like Malaysia or something.
Fun fact, the old woman in the village that the thing jumps into was a regular on the Food Network show Good Eats for years.
That is not a fun fact.
She was Alton Brown's chiropractor.
That is just a fact. That's not exactly fun.
Anyway, continue.
But it actually has to do with that woman. The alien jumps into the old woman, and then it cuts to San Francisco, and you meet Tom Hardy's character, and 6 months goes by. Like, he snoops on his fiance's computer, and he gets her fired. He gets himself fired. He's down on his luck. And then 6 months go by, and there's the old woman going to the airport. And someone said to the director, like, what was the old woman doing for 6 months? And he was like, nothing. Just, you know, use your imagination. Like, I have nothing for that.
I don't remember that airport scene.
Yeah, she like jumps into the body of a little girl that's flying to San Francisco, because little girls take vacations in Malaysia, I guess.
Sure.
And like so much of the movie happens without this alien. And then it just sort of appears in the laboratory and jumps into the Carlton Drake character. And then it decides it's going to blast itself into space to go get more symbiotes. And I was like, we could have a movie without this character in it. It has no bearing on anything.
Wow. Okay. So I must have blacked out because I don't remember that woman after the EMS worker, you know, who's possessed by Riot. After Riot jumps from the EMS worker to the old woman, I don't remember seeing her again. I don't remember an airport. I don't remember a little girl.
Maybe you took an important phone call for 10 minutes. Because the scene was very short. She just walks into the airport. She sees a little girl and she just like, and then it just cuts.
That must have been it. Because, and I felt like I had, yeah, I guess that must have been it. Cause I felt it was later in the movie that I wouldn't have missed a scene like that. But I guess if it was sort of awkwardly placed somewhere in the middle of the movie, it's entirely possible that I, at random, I left at that exact moment. Because then when that little girl shows up, I go, who the hell is this?
Yeah.
And how did she get in there?
How did she get in there? It was like, and like he's walking around by himself. And so is his little kid. I'm like, really? Nobody even raised an alarm? She just walked right in? Like, Eddie Brock had 40 people chasing him the minute he stepped to the door. Sounds like, okay. And then the girl just jumps into the bad guy's body. And I was like, all right. So, like, that whole character that could have been taken out and nothing would have changed.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty, you know, that's a... It's a giant chunk of the movie at the end there that would have had to be redone, and I can only imagine in a more interesting fashion.
Well, you could have done the internal stuff more, because to make room for that 20-minute fight scene of two black characters in the dark, you could have just... I actually gave up in the middle of watching. I'm like, well, I have no idea what's happening. Like, I'm not even going to attempt to follow this fight.
Although you have to wonder what was better, the two black characters in the dark or the, you know, the bunch of cops firing tear gas into a room, you know, and you have, you just see flashes and then an arm for half a second, and not in like the scary way where you see, where it's like a blank screen and then you see an arm. No, it's just like, I bet they're in there somewhere having a pretty decent fight. Should be great to see some of that, but
like those TV shows that run out of money and the budget, and they have to have a character happen things off screen and then tell you about it later. Like, that was exciting.
Boy, that was some fricassee we just had over at the in that ball of smoke.
Instead of wasting money on that fight, they could have just had like a him and the symbiote trying to work together kind of scene.
Yeah.
To stop some generic human or something like that would have been more interesting, but they didn't do that.
Or literally anything else.
Why? What was the most frustrating thing for you?
I think it was the mechanics of how the symbiotes worked, because they make a big deal out of it in the first, maybe third, like the second third of the movie, when he's got all these homeless people that he's put in his lab, and they're going through one subject after the other, and it, like, trying to get them to bond. Why he thought that they would function like that, like that they would be, you know, symbiotic in a way. I don't know if they made that clear, if I just wasn't really paying attention. But okay, so some people are carriers and some are not. They don't know why. Or they don't tell you why it works for some people, not for others. And it seems to be kind of a rare thing, because they go through multiple subjects where it's just not working out well. Either the subject dies horribly and quickly, or they become deranged and, you know, they don't function properly.
Yeah, like they were doing it with animals. And they say something like it goes into a bunny rabbit, and they're like, oh, it works fine with this bunny rabbit. And all the other animals were dead, and then they were killing the host. And he goes, okay, close enough. Let's start doing it to people now.
Right. Yeah.
Even though she says, like, I don't understand why it's working with this one particular bunny rabbit. And he doesn't really care.
Yeah. This.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of threw my hands up about halfway through, because something that is in a symbiotic relationship is something that feeds off one another. two things that connect.
And yeah, like so there's a symbiote and a parasite are different things.
Yes, and they keep calling them parasites, and like Venom gets like upset. Like, I'm not a parasite. That's insulting. Don't call me that. But at the same time, if it doesn't eat, it eventually eats the person it's inside of, like Eddie.
Right.
That's why it's like, I'm always hungry. I'm always hot because the thing is eating me if I don't eat and feed the symbiote. And I'm like, that's not the same.
Yeah, it's really, really not. So the fact that there was no logic to who could serve as a host and who couldn't, there was, you know, because as a matter of convenience, certain people could and couldn't. Like the bad guy, Carlton Drake, you know, could be a carrier with really no ill effects to him, per se. Whereas the other guy dies, the dog, the little girl, the bunny, like there's just sort of no rhyme or reason other than like we need to move this plot along, therefore we'll make the bad guy also one of the badder guys. And you know, so that and then also, but it's like, how does it get into you? You know, like
I think through the skin.
Through, but like then through his t-shirt too. So like there was just no real thought to the mechanics of this. And we live in an age where they make a movie a week now with sometimes too much thought as to how these things work. I mean, Iron Man's first half of Iron Man is him making an Iron Man suit. And the second half of Iron Man is him making an Iron Man suit. Mm-hmm. So they made an entire movie, and an excellent one, about how it works, because that's the most important thing to people now, considering that we have all this technology that allows you to show visually how things work. And they just decided not to do any of that here. And they said, we're just going to say it's happening and show you some cool stuff that can happen because of it. But then, like, one of the kids in my class today said he liked the movie. And I was giving him a hard time. I go, oh, it was terrible. I go, what happens to all the heads that he eats? I said to them. Like, where do they go? You know, he's eating whole people. Like, and then, you know, but then, like, the next thing you know, he kind of shrinks back and then looks like Brock. I'm like, where is all that, you know, all those bones? And, you know, is he an owl? Is he storing it later somewhere to spit it out? Like, what the hell? So, like, it's just that relationship in terms of, you know, how these things work with human hosts, kind of the whole point of the movie, not thematically, just mechanically. And they didn't bother to explain any of that. And it didn't make it hard to follow, but I had to constantly push that voice to the back of my head, you know, every 4 minutes to go, don't worry about that. I'm sure it's fine. Yeah. And it just, if I'm doing that, I'm not really paying attention.
And I don't understand what to me that, like, you're not making this up out of nowhere. Like, Venom was a character from the 80s. It's been around long enough that they just read the comic book if you don't have any ideas. It'll tell you how it works.
Well, I wonder if they ran into some problems with that, too. Because, I mean, Venom really only works as, you know, in conjunction with Spider-Man. Like, that's sort of, it's how he was designed. I mean, well, someone said that, like, he was really designed because they wanted a way to cut down on cost. And if he had black characters, you didn't have to do much, you know, with color, and you could just draw everyone the same shade. And, you know, so I heard that somewhere. I'm like, eh, maybe that's true. But, like, you know, so much of his character relies on Spider-Man and that storyline, the one that you kind of get in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And, like, I wonder how much they could not borrow or could not use from the Marvel stuff. Excuse me. Because of their relationship with Marvel now and how it's sort of, like, weird and tenuous. And
yeah, I don't know. And Venom is a very good character. And there was a lot of, like, well, is this going to work without Spider-Man? Because, you know, they have such a close relationship. And the people who knew what they were talking about, not me, I'm just paraphrasing, they were saying, like, you can, if you do it right, in that Venom is the kind of character that, you know, he's an anti-hero and he has to learn to become one, because at first he's just a bad guy, you know. So, and you see this with Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire, and that, like, he wears the black suit and it makes him, it's supposed to make him like an asshole. He can't control his id, you know, like, I'm hungry, I'm angry, I'm this, I'm that, like, and then he sort of realizes the suit is making me do this. And then when it goes on to somebody who wants to embrace those sides, they kind of have to realize, you know, there's a reason we act like sophisticated humans and not Neanderthals. We can be better people that way. And he and the symbiote come to some sort of agreement, you know, which he does at the end of this film. We can eat the heads off of very bad people, but that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the movie they made. This was, first of all, I thought it was going to be rated R.
They, I think somebody, either the director or the writer or somebody, was desperate for it to be rated R, and then they got turned down. They said, probably, I'm just guessing. Someone said, no, you can't make this rated R. You know, we're not going to start off our own little film franchise with a rated R movie. What are you, nuts?
Okay, I thought this was going to be that sort of rated R, almost like a horror movie kind of psychological thing. And it wasn't that. So you're missing all those elements from Spider-Man that help the character make more sense. You know, why is it called Venom? You know, not just for shits and giggles. It's because Venom is poisonous to spiders and you know, blah, blah, blah. That's where it gets to, I'm going to be poisonous to Peter Parker. So just call me Venom. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. I actually don't think he's a great character. I think he's kind of a shitty throwaway character.
You, sir, are wrong.
No, because Venom isn't a character. The people he inhabit are characters, and he changes them, like you said, by bringing out their id, by giving them permission in a way to behave more instinctually than, you know, more appropriately. And so what you're left with is kind of an amalgamation of characters that have already been written, and what they would be like if they had fewer inhibitions. And so after a while, there is no independent Venom. You never really see Venom. In this movie, you do, because they don't have any of that Spider-Man stuff, like you said. And they have that conversation where he says, I'm kind of a loser where I come from. Just like you, Eddie.
Yeah, well, they do that. I mean, early Venom is not like that, and they do expand in that the thing has it's a mind of its own. And that's why, like, the other symbiotes, like Carnage and Riot and all them, depending on who they land on, have their own personalities. And I liked that part of this, and that, like, he would talk to it and stuff.
It was the only interesting part, was this weirdo internal monologue buddy cop thing they had going on.
Yeah. Which they, you know, you could have done more with that if that was what they were planning on doing.
You could make an entire movie of Tom Hardy talking crazy to himself, and I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So, what was Tom Hardy doing before he had the alien? He was still already acting kind of weird. He must be an odd person.
He must be a very strange person. There were stories abound about his behavior on set and how he and the director did not get along at all. And there's something about a lobster tank, and it was a scene that was cut, and they were it's supposed to be in a restaurant, and he's acting kind of funny for whatever reason. I'm not quite sure where the scene was supposed to go.
That scene's in the movie.
Where he gets into a lobster tank?
Yeah.
How long was that phone call I took?
Must have been a little longer.
I guess so.
Because it's quite an odd scene.
All right.
He jumps into the lobster tank. He starts eating the lobsters when they were alive.
Oh, yeah. I really must have missed quite a bit here.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was gone for more than like 3 minutes, but apparently that was not the case. Yeah, so that scene, which didn't get cut, which I'm looking at, like, I'm reading all these articles online going, huh, must have cut that one out because I didn't see it.
I wonder why they took that one out.
That seems pretty interesting. I could have left that one in there, I guess. All right. So, yeah, like that wasn't in the script. Then maybe what I was reading was it was something that he had invented on the day. Like, I'm going to get in that tank and fuck you if you try and stop me. And they had to like get rid of like the live lobsters and, you know, get fake ones because you can't put a person in a lobster tank apparently with PETA breathing down your neck or something like that. And, you know, yeah, he's a strange guy, I think. Which is okay, because he makes interesting movies, and they're, you know, even if he isn't doing much, he's still sort of fun to watch, like in Dunkirk. He didn't really, he still has eyes for a half an hour, and that was pretty compelling. But yeah, he's definitely probably, you know, he's an odd fella. A lot of tattoos. That's why he always has long sleeves on and everything he does.
I was wondering if those were his real tattoos.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, like, what was he doing before? Like, just in his talking weirdness?
Yeah, he was already acting very strange.
That was sort of the thing that also was annoying. Was his character wasn't really full, like in the original stories from the comic books. He's just a less talented photographer, I think.
And sometimes then, he's a photographer, and sometimes he's a reporter.
Okay, but he's a journalist of some kind, yeah. Photo or otherwise. And he believes Peter Parker screwed him over somehow, and that's what kind of spurs him on to hate Spider-Man, because he figures out, I guess, that they're the same person.
Yeah, well, once he gets the Venom character, he learns everything about the last person it was bonded to, which is Spider-Man.
Right. Okay. Yeah,
that's how he knows all that stuff.
So in this, he's supposed to be like sort of a shock journalist where he has a TV show or had a TV show where he goes around and, you know, points out when people are doing bad things like toxic waste dumps or, you know, kidnapping orphans or something like that, and sheds light on, you know, whatever injustices he finds. And then, you know, but so like there's that, which I guess is true, but then he gets assigned a puff piece by his boss. Like, what? Well, why? Like, what exactly is the reason for giving this hard-nosed reporter who's, you know, used to hanging out with drug dealers and biker gangs and, you know, various kingpins a puff piece about a Silicon Valley billionaire trying to save the planet through some weirdo means? Like, it's who he is and what he was doing wasn't terribly clear, despite, you know, aside from the fact that he had like no scruples about, you know, with his girlfriend and looking at her computer for information that he needed.
Yeah, they always do that. Like, I'll never forget that. What is it? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days with Matthew McConaughey, and he's dating Kate Hudson.
Yeah. Like, where are we going with this?
Just listen. And Kate Hudson works for like a magazine, like Elle or something.
Yeah, like a glamour mag.
Yeah, like Vanity Fair or whatever. And all she begs them to do is like hard-hitting journalism about refugees from the Congo and like other strange. She's always like, well, I want to do this. And they just look at her like, we want you to write about shoes. We're a shoe magazine, sometimes with makeup. And like the whole movie, I'm sitting here like, yeah, no, she's totally wrong. Go work for the New York Times. Like, what does it matter with you? How stupid do you have to be?
Well, so, yeah.
So like
I mean,
movies and TV shows, it's always like, I want you to cover this, but none of your nonsense. I'm like, don't you have anyone else on staff? Like, why are you picking this person? Like,
you know he's going to give you his nonsense.
Yeah, and they had two very long scenes in the office with his boss. Like, now this is a puff piece, so I don't want you to pull any of your shit. And then he does it, and there's another long scene in the office. I can't believe you pulled your shit. Now I have to fire you. I'm like, why does this scene have to be so long?
Yeah. And like, it was funny, like, he says at one point after he gets fired that he hates Carlton Drake because he ruined him. And like my note just says, he didn't really ruin him exactly. He made, you know, unsubstantiated claims in a sandbag interview after using his girlfriend's position as a lawyer, you know. And then like 10 minutes later, his girlfriend points out the fact that no, you fucked this up for yourself. You know, he didn't do it. Incidentally, you know, he did other terrible things, but he didn't ruin your career.
Yeah.
You did that. Yeah. By the way, she was terrible in this.
His fiance?
Michelle Williams was just dreadful in this movie.
What is she normally in?
I don't know. She's made a lot of really good choices for movies. She was in the one with Casey Affleck last year. That was really the Manchester or something.
Oh, Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, yeah. So like she, you know, in like Winter's Bone, and she's made a lot of good choices over the last. I mean, of all the people on Dawson's Creek, did you expect this one to be the one to make it out of there?
No.
No. I mean, you know, Dawson's not really doing anything but having lots and lots of kids. Pacey, the guy, Joshua Jackson, made a couple of like teen flicks, like The Skulls, and then made TV for a while on like Fringe with J.J. Abrams. And Katie Holmes made one movie, got married to Tom Cruise, and nobody ever really heard from her again, except for Logan Lucky. Mm. You know. And even then, it's like, oh, look, it's Katie Holmes. You know, it's never like, oh, look, Katie Holmes is in this movie playing a character. It's just, no, they hired Katie Holmes because she's still moderately attractive. And she has a very sort of, you know, specific type that can be used over and over again. But Michelle Williams has made a lot of different kinds of movies and, you know, seems to be just doing more interesting work as an actress. But this was just like, what are you doing? It's very kind of simple boilerplate stuff. Like, here, I'm mad at you now. I'm going to throw my ring at you. And then later on, she shows up with the boyfriend who, like, you like.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no reason. He's not like a dick. You know, he's a really nice guy trying to help him, and
holy tonal problems, Batman.
Yeah, he's really, well, he seems like a decent guy, and you're waiting for him to get eaten. He never does.
Yeah.
You know.
He just happened to be a doctor all of a sudden.
Wasn't that really helpful?
That was lucky.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. She was, you know, she didn't have much to do.
Right, you know, and the things she did have to do weren't insignificant. They carried a little bit of weight, at least for plot points, but she just, yeah, so they had her for a week worth of filming, and then she's like, this is what you got, use the takes you have, I'm not coming back for reshoots, guys. So, one of the things that really bugged me too, and this is like really a minor thing, the first time you see him in the movie, he's wearing a San Francisco t-shirt. And I get it that the city was kind of a thing, like that's where the character is from. But did you ever see a movie set in New York where the guy, like your main character, is wearing an I Love New York t-shirt? No. Right? Sort of, I mean, it's one thing if it said like, you know, Berkeley on it or some kind of like, you know, slightly less obvious, like this is where this movie takes place. Like, if the shirt had literally said, this movie takes place in San Francisco, it would have been as subtle as that t-shirt.
Which is, it's funny to me, because it's not like Chicago, where you're staring at it like, I think I know this city. It's San Francisco, which has the most iconic bridge in the world. And they established the hell out of it in most shots. I was like, oh, yeah, San Francisco. Oh, yeah, they got a lot of hills there. You know? Like,
yeah.
Like, she lives in, like, the Full House. You know?
Yeah, I always enjoy watching car chase scenes in San Francisco because they're insane. Like, I've been there once. I spent about 3 days walking around San Francisco. And here's what's amazing about San Francisco. There are a million 20-year-olds living there who all work on developing apps all the time. Why none of them has developed an app to tell you how to walk from one place in the city to the other without having to borrow a Sherpa is beyond me. Like, I found a great website that would load on my phone, but poorly, that would literally tell you the inclines of the hills based on where you're standing. So if you wanted to go this way, okay, well, this is a really steep hill, and this is a very neutral hill, and this one goes straight down. You know, there's it's really just insane the way they've designed this. So there is no way in the world you could have a high-speed car chase through any part of San Francisco and have it not end in just the bottom falling out of the car. Like, I get that like the jumps are cool, but you could do a jump in any city. And so whenever I see a car chase in San Francisco, I kind of go, yeah, that's just... It's already an insane proposition to have a car chase in a movie. Like, yeah, you kind of have to suspend much disbelief to get through it, but these scenes were just so stupid because, like, that car would have, like, rolled over and blown up four times already, and it's... Look, it's fine. It's bouncing, you know? And why was the fire blue when they were shooting at them? Anybody know that? Like, the drone shot blue fire?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that was very strange. And I'm just looking at, like, my weird notes. Like, why does Michelle Williams call him with his test results?
Because the doctor doesn't have his number.
Right, but...
He calls her and is like, you need to get a hold of him because he's very sick.
Right, but, like, why didn't she just give him the phone? Is it he had a mouthful of Kung Pao chicken, and that's why he's... You just tell him he's very sick and then he has to come in.
Oh, I thought they weren't in the same room together.
No, they were. They were sitting there having Chinese food or something together. And she calls him and says, hey, your test results came back and you're very sick. I'm like, why doesn't the doctor call him? Like, it was just a weird little thing that I added to my list of shit that bothered me. And why did... So he starts, when he first has the thing in his head, it's talking to him in his head. And it says, I know you, I'm inside your head. And then his phone rings. And he looks at it and sees that Anne is calling him. So why does the alien then ask, who's Anne? If it's inside his head and knows things.
I think it just knows his emotions. Like, I don't know.
No, it gave very specific information. I know this because I'm inside your head. And then he goes, who's this person? I'm like... Didn't you just... Oh, for Christ's sakes. Yeah.
Visual effects didn't look good either.
What was that?
Visual effects didn't look good.
They looked terrible, the visual effects. They looked really, really bad. I don't know what they spent any money on in this movie besides that lobster tank.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Everything looked really shitty. We've been doing this now for like an hour. It just everything looked really, really bad. It looked bad. It didn't make any sense. Why did the aliens have English names? Venom and Riot and
yeah,
yeah, and like you know, like I said, the mechanics of like you know, everyone's a carrier now, from the dog to the little girl.
Yeah, a lot of that just, just wasn't explained. Aliens. it felt like they were trying to do a few things and they didn't settle on any, so they just stitched it all together.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it seemed like. Somebody wanted to make a rated R film, but they were told they couldn't. Somebody wanted to do, yeah, like have kind of Spider-Man-y type things, and they didn't. So we wanted to make a buddy cop film, and they didn't. Like, it just didn't really make, you know, there was no cohesion to anything. It's just like, sorry, everyone, this is a really shit movie, and we should all, like, you know, it passed a couple of smell tests, but that's it. That doesn't actually make it good.
I really hope that they don't go ahead and make that sequel with Woody Harrelson. Did you see that?
Oh my God!
Woody Harrelson in a clown wig. He looked terrible.
Woody Harrelson is like the new Morgan Freeman. He's just in everything, all of a sudden. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it just doesn't work. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, what are we doing here? Ooh, excuse me. Sorry. Like I just. It just looks so stupid.
And I mean, that's a one-note character.
Carnage? I don't know anything about Carnage other than his Marvel hologram card was really hard to come by.
Yeah, he was a rare character in the 90s. they needed another, once they kind of like rehabilitated Venom, they were like, well, we need another one of these aliens that's evil. And so they decided that it would split off and become like a red version, like a spawn. And it latched onto this guy in jail who was a serial killer. And they were like, screw all the anti-hero nonsense. There is no conflict with this character. The red blob and the serial killer are perfectly happy being one giant thing. And they call themselves Carnage because all they do is run around murdering people. And, you know, fine. But don't get old Woody Harrelson in a bad wig. You know, and you just, and I'm sitting there and in my head, I'm like, I hope they don't do this for two reasons. One, it's dumb. Two, let Marvel do it with the cinematic universe. Let them do this with Tom Holland and stretch it out and make it good, you know, because people are going to see this one and the new one and be like, I don't want to see that with the good guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what they should have done. From the beginning, they should not have tried to create their own sort of like bizarro world universe where all these people exist, but kind of and somewhat differently. Like it the character needs Spider-Man to make sense. Once you have one movie with Spider-Man, you can kind of do other things with him, and he can have this journey going from being the villain to being the anti-hero. Like there's plenty of room for that in the, you know, in that Marvel universe, but that takes time and patience, and nobody has any of that.
Yeah, like I remember when the Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out, and they had a teaser scene at the end of that one with Andrew Garfield, that they were going to do like the Sinister Six movie and have all these villains without Spider-Man. All I kept thinking was like, why? Except money. Would you possibly do that? And I can't imagine what it would take to make that work without Spider-Man. Because after Batman, Spider-Man's villains are very, very good. But they need someone to fight. They're still villains.
Yeah.
You know, Venom, you can kind of squeak by. So they're like, oh, they're making a horror psychological film with Venom without Spider-Man. I was like, all right, that might be a thing. It wasn't. But at least I could what they were trying to do. I mean, you can't make a Dr. Octopus movie without Spider-Man.
No.
It's like watching the Mad Hatter or something.
Yeah,
Batman.
It's just watching them run around and win.
Yeah. Does anybody want to watch a Clock King movie? I don't.
The Clock King.
Or man. Calendar Man? I mean, what are we doing here?
They got really creative back then, didn't they?
Yeah.
Any idea, guys? Anything at all? I don't care what it is. Yeah.
Just look around the room. What's an object? Lamp Man. Let's make his villain as Lamp Man.
I love Lamp Man.
Yeah, I love Lamp Man. Just pointing at things in the room and saying you love them.
So I
hope they stop doing this.
Did you catch who did the title song at the end?
Eminem.
Eminem. Yes. When did he become Will Smith?
I don't know. He's Will Smithing very hard.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the poster for the Black Robin Hood movie they're making?
The Black Robin Hood movie? Like it's
I think Jamie Foxx is going to be Robin Hood.
No. Taron Egerton.
Oh.
The kid from the Kingsman movies is going to be Robin Hood. And Jamie Foxx plays... I don't know which character he's playing. He's playing one of the characters, but I'm sure it's going to be completely different.
He plays Kasim or whatever the guy's name would be.
Maybe that's what he... Maybe he's Azeem.
Because he's on the poster.
Yeah, I think he's...
The poster I saw where it was just Jamie Foxx, and I was like, is Jamie Foxx going to be Robin Hood?
Yeah, so basically it's kind of what they did with King Arthur.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But maybe more.
Yeah.
You know? I mean...
These ones go to 11.
There's the unfortunate omission of Jude Law in some kind of a bathrobe lying on a throne, which is going to be a shame because that's like the best part of that movie. Yeah, it's like a high paced action-y, you know, Robin Hood. Like, I'll go see it because we can talk about it and see if it's any good. They've been trying to make a Robin Hood movie since the dawn of time.
Yeah, they really have.
You know,
endless.
You know, since before there was an England, they were making Robin Hood movies.
And did you stay to watch the very last end credits scene?
No, because I was so annoyed. I think I had to go to the bathroom. What was in the last one?
It was actually a bit of the new Spider-Man cartoon that they're making that's coming out.
Oh, yeah. I heard it was like 10 minutes worth of that movie.
Yeah. That movie looks phenomenal. I will absolutely go see that.
Yeah, it does look kind of interesting.
Well, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan.
So. Yeah. What's the name of the pig?
Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham.
That's Peter Porker.
I couldn't like that was the one I was thinking of. I'm like, yeah. Peter, it's something with pork.
Yeah, Peter played Porker. By John Mulaney. Yeah, John Mulaney's doing the voice.
Yeah, like that. It just looked more interesting. I'm like, oh, that probably makes more sense.
Well, there's been a lot of Spider-Men nowadays, so
Spider-Man.
Yeah, and women, so you know.
Okay.
That main character is popular in his own right, the younger kid.
Miles Morales?
Miles Morales, yeah.
Yeah, there was talk of Donald Glover, is it? Mm-hmm. Playing that would have been interesting.
Yeah, there was a lot of debate about whether it would be Peter Parker or the other one in the MCU.
Yeah.
Like, look, we're just going to start simple here. You know,
yeah, so. I think that it could have gone. I mean, if it was Donald Glover, that would have worked because he's good in everything. You know what one of his better roles was in The Martian.
No, I never saw that.
Oh, that's a good movie. Everyone in it is good because everyone in it is doing a toned down version of the normal stuff they usually do. Like Kristen Wiig is in that movie. Yeah. Kristen Wiig has made a lot of really questionable choices, but you take comedic actors and you put them in sort of basic dramatic roles where they have to go in there and just deliver lines on screen, and they can do it and it works. And you know, they just don't give them any of their usual shtick and it's fine. And so Donald Glover, his shtick is basically anti-racism, and is, you know, his whole thing in the movie was to be kind of a weird and somewhat sleep deprived genius who figures out how to fix a problem with the guy in on Mars and not worry about, you know, Atlanta and things like that. Are you there? We've lost Phil, everybody.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I'm here. It's fine.
The screen went blank for a second. I was like, oh God, what happened?
It's the end of Venom.
Right, just stops. Anyway, so like, yeah, it would have been cool to see him just do like a non-typical Donald Glover project. So anyway, that didn't happen.
Hopefully that'll be better than this. And
It would have to be.
Matt's not here, so we can't tell him, but
yeah.
Oh, did you? That's what I was going to say. How long during the movie until you realized her name wasn't Dr. Skirt?
What, the moderately attractive woman they put with the glasses?
Yeah, the female scientist. Her name was Dr. Skirth.
Oh, but yeah, no, I knew it wasn't Skirt. I couldn't have told you what it was right now, but
the whole time I'm like, really? Why would they call her Dr. Skirt? That's like saying Mr. Glasses or like, you know, Dr. Business Suit over here. Like, it's like
Dr. Labcoat.
Yeah, Dr. Labcoat. It's like having an ice cream man named Cone.
The library cop's name is Bookman.
I'm like, oh, it's not. They're not saying Skirt. Oh, well, that's better then, you know.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So no, I. Sorry, you know, I was fine with that one. So, anyway.
All right. Don't go see Venom, everybody.
No, Venom sucks, and you're all stupid for liking it. But
anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. If you guys out there in Radioland have any thoughts you want to share with us about this movie, you can tweet us or Instagram us at @3drinksinpod. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Click subscribe, tell your friends, leave reviews, like us on Facebook, email us at 3drinksinpodcast@gmail.com. As always, please drink responsibly, and we will talk to you all next time. I got a
song. Yep, take care. Shit.
Bye. Strong-willed. When the world gives you a raw deal, set you off till you scream, piss off, screw you. When it talks to you like you don't belong, it tells you you're in the wrong field. When something's in your mitochondria, cause it latched on to you like knock, knock, let the devil in. Malevolent as I've ever been. Head is spinning, this medicine. Screaming, nick, 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 let us in. It, nick, nick, like a solid ball. Let your Allen pole, bedridden, should've been dead a long time ago. Liquid Tylenol, gelatin, think my skeleton's melting. Wicked, I get all high when I think I smell the scent of elephant. Manure, hell, I'm in Kahlua, screw it, to hell with it. I went through hell with accelerants and blew up myself again. Volkswagen, tailspin, bucket matches my pale skin. Meowing, went from Hellman's and being rail thin, flaffish. Scribble Jam, Rev Olympics, 97, Freak Nick, how can I be down mean? Bazaar in Florida, Bruce Room, slept on the Florida motel then. Dr. Dre said, hell yeah, and I got it stamped like a postcard, word to mailman. And I know they're gonna hate, but I don't care. I barely can wait to hit him with the snare and the bass square in the face. This fucking world better prepare to get laced, because they're gonna taste my venom. I got that adrenaline momentum, momentum, not going with them. Never gonna slow up in them, ready to snap any momentum. Thinking it's time to go get them, they ain't gonna know what hit them. When they get beat with the venom. I got that adrenaline momentum, momentum, not going with them. Never gonna slow up in them, ready to snap any momentum. Thinking it's time to go get them, they ain't gonna know what hit them. When they get beat with the. I said knock knock, let the devil in. Shotgun, pip pip pellets in the felt pin. Cock fuck around and catch a hot one. It's evident I'm not done. Vic venomous, the thought spun like a weapon. You're discarding them. Held against your will like a hubcap or a mud flap. Beat strangler, attack. So this ain't gonna feel like a love tap. Eat painkiller pills, fuck a blood track. Like what's her name's at the wheel. Then a cup patch through the car in the reverse at the Indian nut crash in India. The back of the just mangled steel. My Mustang and the Jeep Wrangler, the grill with the front smashed. Much as my rear fender assassin. Slim be a combination of an actual kamikaze and Gandhi. Translation, I will probably kill us both when I end up back in India. You ain't gonna be able to tell what the fuck's happened in India when you're bit with the venom. Adrenaline, momentum, momentum, not going with them. Never gonna slow up in them, ready to snap any momentum. Thinking it's time to go get them, they ain't gonna know what hit them. When they get bit with the venom. I got that adrenaline, momentum, momentum, not going with them. Never gonna slow up in them, ready to snap any momentum. Thinking it's time to go get them, they ain't gonna know what hit them. When they get beat with the. I said knock knock, let the devil in. Alien, it Elliot, phone home. Ain't no telling when this chokehold on this game will end. I'm loco, became a symbiote, so my fangs are in your throat, ho. You're snake bitten with my. Point pin 'em, gun cock, bump stock, double lock, buckshot, tire thumper, uggerot, tie, couple knots fired up and caught fire, juggernaut, punk rock, bitches going down like young jock, cause the doc put me on like sun rock, why the fuck not, you only get one shot. Ate shit till I can't taste it, chased it with stray liquor, then bathe thinner, then drink till I faint and awake with a headache, and I take anything in rectangular shape, then I wait. To face the demons I'm bonded to, cause they're chasing me, but I'm part of you, so escaping me is impossible. I latch onto you like a parasite, and I probably ruined your parents' life and your childhood too. Cause if I'm the music that y'all grew up on, I'm responsible for you that are the fools. I'm the super villain, dad and mom is losing their marbles too. You marvel that Eddie Brock is you, and I'm the suit, so call me Venom. I got that adrenaline momentum.